Dear faithful, dear pilgrims, dear parishioners, all of you who are listening to the Radio Međugorje. In every Holy Mass we listen biblical readings. We listen texts from the Holy Scripture that we believe. Those are proclamation of God to us people, but Holy Bible at the same time is the book of the Church. We understand biblical texts according to the criteria that the Church sets. That is what protects us, to keep one faith instead of each one of us according to our own intuition that we choose, that we determine, and we choose just what we are pleased with. One of the criteria that is required from Catholics when they listen to the Holy Scripture is to understand the Holy Scripture as a whole. As a gradual growth and development of proclamation until we reach the fullness in Jesus Christ. The Holy Scripture is a great book of God's mercy, but also it is a great book of justice. There is no sin that the Lord cannot forgive. But at the same time, the sin and injustice have their price. There are two extremes when we explain the Holy Scripture, and none of those is sustained if criteria is respected. One of those is to threaten by God's punishment, as if God is someone who is a father that is not merciful, as if the central person in our faith is not Jesus but Satan. And if the Holy Spirit is not strong enough to protect his faithful from the evil spirit. On the other hand, there is something that banalizes evil and man's role in it, as if the evil would be the independent fact when it comes to man and his work, as if there is no danger that we take our life, our reason and our deeds, that we do not turn those against God from whom we have received everything. That danger indeed exists. It seems that lately the sins are taken with the term weakness. In that way, the responsibility is reduced on purpose. Even yet, it sounds that we are weak in much more moderate way than when we say that we are sinned. If we want to be honest to ourselves, we can see that sin is a choice, and that our frequent choices and our frequent decisions bring to the point that we become weaker and weaker. The text from the Old Testament that we have heard as the first reading about Sodom and Gomorrah, to those evils that became the moral symbols, and about God's punishment over them, that is warning us that evil is not just, it's not something harmless. And the invitation to conversion is one of the basic messages of the New Testament. Lord is immensely good and merciful. If we were to respond in the modern world as he reacted as in Sodom and Gomorrah, probably it would be harder to find the life on our planet than on Mars. But surely does not mean that good and evil are placed on the same level, that those victims and those who did crimes will end up in the same way, that God will treat in this equally the one who harmed and the one who suffered. Bishop Pedro Sudar, in one of his recent interviews, said, if it wasn't for the resurrection, this magnificent world, and especially men, would become tragic creature. How are we going to live with the thought that incredible goodness of so many people would remain without recognition, or so many little or great injustices and crimes without equalization. It seems to me that that thought matches and responds well the conclusion about the first reading, and I would like us to look at now what the short evangelic text says that was chosen for this day about appeasing the storm at the sea. Gradually many things change, and we do things, our own perceptions, our own thoughts change at the same time. Among them there is an attitude, understanding of water. If someone in the hot summer days mentions water, probably we think first about refreshment. Maybe we think about going to the sea or a lake. We think about the rest. We think about a place where we can be without worry, where we can at least forget about those everyday problems, and we can only think about not getting burnt in the sun. For Israelites of Jesus' time and earlier on, water had a different meaning. Water was something that was threatening a force. Sea meant danger and meant being lost. As many were fishermen, so sudden storms presented danger for life on the shore. And the houses of fishermen were always afraid and terrified whether the father and family will get back home alive. Or maybe at the end, what will only be left for them will be a prayer. Somebody is found and he is buried in the proper way. When God creates the world, there is a mark of order in the Holy Bible. When he sets borders for the water, when he punishes the world because of sins, the punishment is something that destroyed everything, who was everything and everyone, like in time of Noah. That fear remained with us, so we speak about the wave of the violence, which is something that refers to water. This event on the water takes place after Jesus spoke in parables. People were thrilled with his teaching. Disciples started to feel a little bit like celebrities, because they were close to that teacher. Jesus did not allow them to remain there, but he asked from them to go forward. There was a wave, and the storm became greater, and their fight with the sea became stronger and stronger. They were terrified, and they walked of Jesus with the words, "Lord, save us, for we were killed." Evangelist, as he describes the same event, he brings his sentence, "Lord, don't you care because we are going to be killed?" Jesus was not upset because he was woken up, but because of his lack of faith. Did they really think that he's going to leave them? Actually, if the boat was synced, then he will sink with them as well. The tradition in the churches that our way through history always saw through the image of the boat. It was exposed to the wind with the thought that he will be killed. Does not Lord see what is happening? Why doesn't he protect the church that is asleep? Only the first centuries they needed to sustain against the Roman Empire. The Middle Ages brought many divisions, and there was too much connection with power and authority. At the same time, there were wars. But the last centuries, according to the number of killed Christians, have the records that are really, really not good. In the Second World War, partisans have killed 66 Franciscans who were members of the Franciscan province. There was one eyewitness who said how on 20th of April in 1945 in front of Sima Topic, her son Andrea Topic and her brother Father Valentin Zovko were killed. Father Andrea was about to celebrate the Holy Mass and he was a chaplain. And he was just newly ordained priest. And Father Valentin was sick. And that woman in that situation could have wondered, is Jesus not looking? How come that she allows that at the same moment she loses her son and a brother, even though they were faithful, and two of them consecrated life to God in the priesthood? Maybe yes, she asked the question, but surely the Lord did not took that as a sin. But persecutions did not stop, but the centers of persecutions were moved from one to the other part of the world. And unfortunately, there are countries today where you will remain, or you will lose head if the religious police finds a crucifix on your neck. A church is not endangered just on outside, but mostly it is endangered inside. That is why, because many Christians did not testify about their Christianity, but first thing that you see about them is that they don't have faith, they don't have morality, and unfortunately sometimes even the priests are not exception when it comes to that. There is nothing that is true, is the church, the body of Christ, the sins of her shepherds, said Holy Father Emeritus, as he declared the year of the priests, and the year before he was to be elected as the Holy Father, Cardinal Ratzinger warned the church because of its inner weaknesses seems to be a boat that is sinking all over the place. That sometimes it seems that on the field of the Lord there is much more weed than wheat. All those things should make us examine our conscience, each one of us, regardless of what is the role that we have within our church. But at the end, I would just like to go back to the gospel. What especially is interesting is the fact that evangelists bring this event at all. The gospels were written centuries after all of this took place. At that time, the evangelists did not write all of the events according to the chronological order that it took place, but they thought about what was important for the proclamation of the faith. They could have remained silent when it came to this occasion and other occasions where disciples were not glorified, where the lack of their faith was shown and where they were afraid, but yet they decided to write that down and to leave that to the ones who will later on follow Jesus through the Christianity, and exactly so their growth in faith could be seen. After Jesus calmed down the sea, apostles were frozen. They did not say anything to them himself, but they asked themselves, who is the one that even the sea and the winds obey? Out of this and many other events, they will take their lesson. And that lesson is going to be, it is worth to go on the life journey with God as with our companion, regardless of how dangerous it might seem. The same disciples will be encouraged later on not to preach, not to be afraid to spread the gospel. If it wasn't for that sacrifice, we would not know about the Son of God today. But we should not be fooled with that. God is not the one who is pleasant companion of the sea of life. Many times our consciousness is warning us. He asks and expects a lot. He places the boundaries and places high goals. And it is not that Lord's demands are simple. They require respect. He asks for our tongue and our behavior to be controlled. He asks of us to try to come to Holy Mass at least one of 1,680 hours that the week has, that you may control your everything that you have within yourself, that you coordinate with your morality. He asks of you that you don't come to the successes in your life in a dishonest way and by destroying the other. He asks of you to learn how to forgive, to be more harsh on yourself than on the other. He asks of you not to be prepared to sell everything for money. That is why many decide not to accept the Lord and to be with them as their life companion. They leave him on the shore. They are entitled to do that. But what will happen at the end of their life, at the end of their journey, when they get to meet the same God? That depends on his justice and his grace and his mercy. And yet the one who decides to travel with the Lord, he can know that in all of the storms of this life he is not alone. That does not mean that life of faith is easy and without problems. Surely even good people and good faithful, it can happen to them that sometimes they would gladly weep over the crosses of the life when they are suppressed by the illness, death of someone who is their loved ones, the loss of their job or family problems. Then we would be really, really good if we said, Lord, save us, the water is coming to our throat, or wake up and save us. Can't you see that we're perishing, as his disciples said? Even in those moments, God is not asleep. He looks at us at least with his half-opened eyes, and he watches that we are not lost, but he teaches us that this life is not his own limit. He teaches us that he is with us in joy and in trouble, in life and in death. Amen.